Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. Welcome, everybody. We're going to continue our October theme of horror comic books. Last week, I gave you the breakdown. So last week, we talked about American Vampire. This week, we're talking about Echoes. Next week, we'll be talking about The Eighth Seal. The week after that, which is going to be Witches, is going to be around about the book Witches. That's WYTCHES, by the way. And then week five will be Outcast, just in case you guys wanted to read ahead, or check them out before I talk about them. But, for this week's episode, we're focusing on Echoes. Echoes is a, five issue, limited series, as they call them, originally released on Matador Books, later picked up by Top Cow, right? I'm trying to remember this correctly, and then later released as a miniature hardcover that I actually have in front of me. By Image Comics, so you can get it that way. I think it's actually the only collected version they have is the Image Comics version of it. But you can definitely go back and read them. That's really all that for publication. Joshua Hale Falkov, I believe is how you say his name. Again, I could be completely wrong. I'm terrible with names. Is the writer. The artist for this book, and I'll get into the art in a little bit, talk a little more about that, is a gentleman named Rasan Ekdal, I believe his name is. Again, terrible names. I've never actually seen any other work by him, so I'm not too sure what else he has done, and I didn't do enough research to figure it out. So that's a shitty thing for me. Joshua, Josh, his career is very short. His first book was a book called Elk's Run, released on Villard Comics way back in 2007, so just 11 years ago. Then he did for Archaea Comics, he did a book called Tumor, which you can find fairly easy, I think, maybe, I don't know. I haven't read it, so I'm not too sure. But he made Echo for, again, Top Cow. Later, was under the Minotaur was the label, I believe it was on, or I can't remember what it was, doesn't matter. And then the collection was released by Image Comics later on, so you can read it that way. And he's worked on other books throughout a bunch of different things. He did a book called I, Vampire, which is a pretty cool book from DC he did for a couple years. I did not read Last of the Greats, which was another Image book he released in 2011. But I do, it was about an origin of the original, original group of superheroes that came about, and I don't remember. I haven't read it, so I'm not too sure, but I remember seeing something about it before. Then he worked on a couple Marvel books, where he wrote for the Ultimate Lines, which is a now defunct line, as of 2015. He wrote for the Ultimates, which is their version of the Avengers. I'll go over that in another show too, because I want to talk about the Ultimate universe at one point. I just have to plan it out more. And then he wrote on a short stint, I think five issues or something, of a book called Ultimate FF, which a lot of people think is Fantastic Four. It's actually spawned from Fantastic Four, but it actually stands for Future Foundation. And that's a whole different story I can talk about when I talk about the Ultimate lines. And then he did a really fun book, he did a webcomic that was later picked up by Oni Comics called The Bunker. And then he did a really fun book, a really good book called The Life After, also on Oni Books, that he's currently still writing for. And it's a really good book too. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Echoes. Echoes is a book that is super dark and I'm just gonna warn you right now, it doesn't have a happy ending. I'll spoil it for you. It's 5 issues. So talk a little bit about the book itself before I go into the plot stuff. The art is very unique in this book. It is black and white. There is no color involved in any of it. It's very detailed. The art style is very manga in a way, which is might distract somebody because people think, oh, I don't like manga. You haven't really seen a lot of manga, but it's very manga-like. Even the size of the collected hardcover that I have in my hand right now, waving around for no one to see but me. It's an interesting way of doing art, especially because most Western comic books are colored, except for The Walking Dead is black and white. I realize that. That's a very popular book. But the thing about this particular book is the detail is really awesome. There's some gory parts in the book too. Some pretty gross old man balls. Like I said, the art's very unique because it's like a Western style of manga, which is an interesting way to do it. It isn't read like manga. It's read from left to right, not right to left. It's still a gorgeous book. Very dark story, which I'll get into right now. So the book focuses on a gentleman named Brian Cohen. And Brian is dealing with a couple things in his life. One, his ailing father, who has Alzheimer's, is on his way out. He's very close to not being around. He's in the final stages of failing health. And Brian's also expecting his very first child, so his wife is pregnant. The storytelling in this book is told in a narrative format by the point of view of Brian. So when you first start off, there's a voiceover done from Brian that is basically telling you what you're seeing on the page, and it's supposed to act like how he's remembering things, and so you get to walk through it. So the first panel, the first page you see is separate into 3 panels, and it says this: I'm in the Moreauville police station now, sitting with Officer Steve Davis, going over my story for the 10th time. And the next panel shows his wife getting an ultrasound, and he's standing there holding her hands, and says, now I'm at the Forbes Regional Hospital, hearing my son's heartbeat for the first time. Then the last panel shows his hands, a digital watch, and him holding what looks to be an old tool chest of some sort. And he says, now I'm in the basement of the house a half a mile from where I grew up, holding a box of my father's crimes. So that's page 1, chapter 1, and it kind of sets up the story from there. The story goes like this. On his father's on his deathbed in the hospital. He is out of it. He's very drugged up to help with the pain. He becomes lucid for one moment, and he says to Brian, and I'll read again directly from it because it's It's an interesting way of doing it, and I'll explain why I say that. So he basically pops up alert. He says, well, Brian's talking to him in the bed, and when he says something to him, he says, "We saw the baby today, Dad." And then the roommate in the hospital room starts muttering about some nonsense. And then he says, "I don't know how you put up with this guy, Dad." And then Brian says, "We tried to get you a private room, but it was too." And then he's cut off by his dad, says, "The box." And Brian says, "Dad," and you can see his dad's eyes are wide open. He's looking at him, says, "Gotta give them the box." And then Brian says, "Just hold on, Dad. I'll go get somebody." And his dad says, "Dead girls. So many dead girls." Brian then swivels around and says, "What?" Says, "In the crawl space under the house on the Haymaker, you have to find the box 1339 Haymaker." And he said, and then Brian yells, "What about the box? I don't understand." And so then it cuts to him driving down a road. And again, I told you that the way they tell a story is interesting because it flashes around. So you see him driving, there's still the voiceover from his dad saying the girls' bodies. Brian saying, "What bodies, Dad? What did you do?" And you hear the beeping of the machinery, the different machines around the hospital room. It says, "In the crawl space under the house on Haymaker, you have to find the box 1339 Haymaker." And then it shows Brian standing in front of a rundown house, and there's a mailbox that says 1339 on it. And there's a voiceover still that says, "In the crawl space under the house on Haymaker, you have to find the box 1339 Haymaker." And that's where shit starts getting crazy. So Brian goes in the house. The door's open. The house is a fucking wreck. He's walking through, and someone or something dashes behind him. We, as the viewer, see it. Brian doesn't. He swivels around, sees nothing. Thinks it's just his mind playing tricks on him, which in likelihood it very could be, because he also has schizophrenia, and he's taking medication for it. His watch, digital watch, beeps. He says, yeah, I know, I have to take the medicine. He's working his way down to the basement. He doesn't really see much. Then he sees a crack in the wall, pulls on it, the sheetrock or whatever happens to be, breaks away, and he sees into the hole that is in the basement, and he realizes that this is the crawl space that his dad was speaking of. So he decides before he goes down to the basement, he goes to take his pills. He gets a phone call from his wife. She's reminding him to take the pills. He's like, "I'm a grown up. I can do this." He goes, the kitchen sink is, when he runs the water, is dirty, gross water. So he's definitely not going to drink from it. And then, so he doesn't get a chance to take his pills. His reflection in the mirror starts talking to him, so he has to calm down. And then he does, and then walks back away, and he's going to go down to the basement. And in the basement, he sees the cracked wall, pulls on it, it breaks loose. He turns his phone on to look into it, crawls into the crawl space, keeps crawling, and then finds a rack with knives of different sizes on it. And he says, "Jesus." He sees a mound covered by a blanket, takes the blanket off, and it's old porn. He has a good laugh. He decides, oh, this is what my dad's talking about, because it's, you know, a bunch of naked ladies. Falls down laughing, looks over, and realizes he's laying on a giant pile of human skeletons. Well, not skeletons, parts of skeletons, disemboweled skeletons. There's leg bones, arm bones, ribs, spines, skulls, lower jaws, all sorts of stuff, and he freaks out. He then he thuds his head. He's looking around and then sees the box on the other side of everything. he says, he tells himself, you need to get yourself under control. And then you don't hear, but it's meant to be heard in the background. You have to find the box. This is Dad again doing the voiceover. He says, God damn it, Dad, what did you do? He reaches for the box. He unclicks it, opens it up, reaches inside, and finds a creepy little doll. That's a little stitched doll put together. It looks very, very creepy. Holding in its hand a little note. He pulls the note out of the hand of the doll. And written on, or typed on the note on the little piece of paper is Mary Splodinski, born July 18th, 1985, died September 15th, 1994. Underneath that it says, made from her skin, flesh, and bone, in her memory. Of course, he gets shocked by this. He looks down from his hands to the box, which is now open, and he sees the box is filled with hundreds of these little dolls, all made up the same way, all holding a note in their hand. He then turns around and throws up all over the floor. And it says, end echoes chapter one. So that's how chapter one goes. Chapter two starts to go a little farther. He pays for a bottle of water to take his pills. It's flashing back and forth. He's giving us an overview of what's going on. He's talking about his dad is setting his dad to rest in a funeral. He's basically found the box. He's on the road to do it, whatever. He's all these different things. I'm not going to go through the whole book for, I could read the whole thing for you. I'm not going to. From there, he goes back to, he's having delusions because he hasn't taken his medication. He gets introduced to another gentleman by the name of Neville, who is a detective and the son of the guy in the same room as Brian's dad. And so they have a little conversation. He bums a cigarette at one point. He's asking Brian a couple questions about Brian's. I don't want to spoil the whole thing for you. I need to read the whole thing. I don't want to spoil any of it for you. But he goes through it. He starts to have psychotic breaks throughout this show, or about the show, through the book. Things start piling up in a bad way. He has some pretty fucked up delusions about dead people and dead things. He gets mobbed by a bunch of dead kids, which is pretty fucked up. Book has a very terrible, not so happy ending. Ends this kind of the same way that it starts, with a voiceover talking about the different things. And you get to realize with the last panel on the last page of chapter five that not everything is gonna work out the way you want it to. And it's just a big splash on one page is a circle, basically like the camera's fading out, and Brian's strapped down to a chair, to a bed, as an old man leaning over him, and he says, everything's going to be all right. And Brian's staring off into space and says, thanks, Dad. End of echoes. And that's how it ends. So you have to read it to find out the rest, how he got there. Really, really good. Really good book in itself. Really fun story. I don't know if it's ever been optioned for anything like a movie or a TV show, but it would be pretty cool to see a mini series based on this, because it's a fantastic story and it'd be pretty fucked up. I think people would really like it because it's a fun little twisty twist on stuff, and pretty awesome. I say awesome. It's a fucked up story, but it's a really good fun read. And you should check it out for sure. That's again, it was Echoes. Not a very long book. It's only five issues, five chapters, really. So yeah, that's it for this this week's book, Echoes by Joshua Hale Falkoff. And then the artist was drawn by Rasan Ekdal, and published by, well, two different publishers. One is Top Cow Productions, and then later on as a collection from Image Comics. It is pretty pretty awesome. If you get the collection, the hardcover one, you will hint in the that there's a, I don't know if it's fully in here. There's a section in here, a letters section, written by them. And basically there's a hint that there could be a sequel, could happen. It was an issue. I'm trying to find the thing. Here it is. Falkoff hinted at the possibility of a sequel in the letter column in issue 5. In a 2012 interview, Ekdal said it could happen if the hardcover continued to sell, but no project has been stated since. Or hasn't been started since. So who knows? If you're wondering why the book is called Echoes, and there's a reason why, is there's a symptom of Alzheimer's, and I'm going to butcher the way this is pronounced, I'm sure, is echolalia, something like that. And it's basically, it's a condition inside, part of Alzheimer's, where someone will overhear something enough, well, they'll repeat it. So I guess that gives away a little bit what's going on if you're a smart enough person to figure it out. But that has to do with a lot of it, and that's why the book is called Echoes. I totally think you should check it out. It's a pretty fast read. Very interesting story. The chapter 5 is just a whirlwind of fucking downhill race to a fucking brick wall with spikes in it. And y'all on greased up skis or a sled like they had in Christmas Story. Or Christmas Vacation. Christmas Story. That was a gun dummy. But yeah, that's it for Echoes for this week. As of what I'm reading, I finished Hunt for October, which I believe I talked about last week. I've yet to rewatch the movies. Can't tell you how different it is. I will watch it. I'm reading, I started reading the first novel in the Witcher series. Then I was really confused because they mentioned a lot of stuff, that has already happened. And it seemed weird to me, because they directly mentioned something that's going on. So I go a few pages in and realize I'm definitely behind on something. I don't know why. So I looked it up. Book one, Elf's Blood, is the first full-length novel of The Witcher, the series The Witcher, which is the source material for the hit video game, as well as the soon-to-be TV show starring Henry Cavill on Netflix. So the books are done in, again, a very weird way. So you have the saga. So you have You have, oh God, this is so, this is what was confusing to me. You had two collections of short stories. The first one, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Swedish pronunciation or Polish pronunciation of any of this, so, because I don't even know how to pronounce those words. I'm barely good in English, as you all know. The first one released in 1993, and then later in English as a translation, is The Last Wish. That is not where I started, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it is a collection of short stories. It was, it's so far it's actually really good. It's really interesting. The next set of short stories is The Sword of Destiny, released in 1992. I know it sounds really, it's backwards, but and that one is released English in 2015. And the reason why you read them in that order, that the Last Wish was written as a prequel to Sword of Destiny. So if you're reading, if you want to read in chronological order, you read The Last Wish first, and then you read Sword of Destiny, and that leads into what's referred to as the Saga. The Saga is basically larger novels that followed the short story, basically were written after the short stories, and tells larger a big large story versus the individual small stories that intertwine. And there's six of those, or five of those ones. Like I said, started to read that one. So the Saga focuses on Geralt of Rivia, who's the Witcher, and Ciri, a child of destiny, which, again, if you don't read The Last Wish, you don't understand what a child of destiny is. So you won't really get, I didn't get it. What, like, they kept talking about this and like, oh, because it's his child. I'm like, I don't fucking understand this at all. Now reading The Last Wish, I understand it. And like, I'm not done with Last Wish yet. I'm 2/3 of the way finished with it. But it's interesting what the writer did. And again, this is going to be pretty, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It's, I'll try, I guess, Andrzej Sapkowski. I'm terrible with just names in general. I'm terrible with names and not in English. Terrible names in English. The Last Wish, which I'm reading right now, he does a cool thing, and I don't know if he does it in Sword of Destiny because I'm not there yet. But in this one, he takes a lot of fairy tales, Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, and the Seven Dwarves, Cinderella, a couple other ones that are thrown in there too, and he fucks with them. He throws them in terrible situations. Yeah, I'll talk more about that in another show, but I just want to let you guys know what I'm reading right now. I think that's really it for now. Comic book wise, I've read a couple of things. Doesn't really matter. Yeah, that's it for this week's episode, I believe. Yeah. So like I said, we just got done talking about Echoes. And just to let you know what's coming up next week, we're going to talk about The Eighth Seal by James Tynion IV. The week after that is going to be Witches by Scott Snyder, and then Outcast by Robert Kirkman. The follow up to end of the month of horror comic books. So yeah, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Again, thanks for listening to The Awesome with Cody. I have been Cody, your host, and as usual, let's be awesome.